one. That's all I heard all week. Tuesday night when I came in from preaching, the pastor's son was watching CNN News, and they told about the bridge collapsing out into the Bay Bridge, that little part of it, and then Interstate 880 that crushed 100 cars or more. And as you watched, as I did, the story unfolded all week. And it has got our attention again about earthquakes. Let's see what the Bible says about it. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I will show you a scripture. And then I will show you one in Revelation chapter 16. First, look at Matthew chapter 24. And then I want to show you one in Revelation 16. You never have to worry about being outdated with the Holy Bible. The book is always up to date. No matter what happens in the world, we've got it right here in this book. Matter of fact, we're even far beyond. I'm going to make a prediction this morning that no scientist or whatever those guys are that read the Richter scale would be able to make and guarantee it to happen. You believe that? Watch this. Matthew chapter 24. Now you look at what your Bible says. The Bible's not an old, outdated book. This thing's far beyond the newspapers. This thing is far beyond the findings of science or geologists or meteorologists or whatever they are. This thing says this. Too much low on it, Brother Roy. Get it off, please. Verse number 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's the end of the tribulation. So we're dealing with what's going to be going on during the great tribulation after you and I who are saved are called out to meet the Lord. And look what's in tribulation, verse 7. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. There it is. In divers places. The word diver means from our word diversities. Different. Bunch of different spots. They're not all going to be in California. They're going to be in other places. And what happened in California Tuesday evening at 5:04 was no accident. You hear me? It was no accident. When Hurricane Hugo come through the other day, I've heard people say, boy, the devil sent that thing through here and tried to kill us all. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. The Bible says God has His way in the whirlwind. The weather's controlled by God, friend. Y'all believe that? What the Bible said. What do you think, what kind of weather we'd have if God let the devil do it? He'd freeze us all to death right now. Now, sometimes He'll let Him interfere. Sometimes God will allow the devil to mess a little something up once in a while, but God's running the show. Nothing happens without His permission. And so that thing shook out there, and they said with the force of so many atomic bombs, and it went down through the world somehow, and had 1,400 aftershocks as of Thursday, and China had 7 earthquakes Thursday. That's all this week. You reckon the Lord's trying to tell people something? You reckon God might just be saying, hey, I'm still up here, you know. Well, let's look at Revelation 16 and I'll show you the big one. People say, well, some scientists think that was the big one. That wasn't the big one. Here's the big one. Now the big one's coming, and it's coming right at the end of the tribulation. If you've got a King James Bible, you've got way ahead of them. Revelation chapter 16 is the big one. And the big one, we're getting down here near the end of the tribulation. And the seven angels pour out their vials. And when the seventh one pours his out, look what happens. Verse number 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightning. Here's the big one. The Richter scale won't even be able to measure it. There was a great earthquake. There's the big one. The scientists say hadn't got here yet. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That's during the end of the tribulation, during that 7-year period, while we're up in heaven, going to be the worst quake the world's ever had. You know how bad it's going to be? Here's what it does. Verse 19. The great city was divided into three parts. It cuts that city like a pie. And the cities of the nations fell. Skyscrapers. Empire State Buildings. Sears Tower. Now, buddy, I'll tell you where God had mercy. There's a lot of people say, "Oh, God, if God's good, why'd He let that?" I saw the mercy of God Tuesday, and the mercy of God was there's 60,000 people in that baseball stadium and that thing didn't fall. There's the mercy of God. You talk about a mess, brother. There would have been one if God had left that thing. But God's good. God's merciful. God is merciful. But when this time comes, the wrath of God will be poured out on the earth. And He's going to say, "All right, level it." You can finally push God so far He takes action. You can finally spit in the face of God and shake your fist and party and smoke dope and commit iniquity until God says, "All right, there's no remedy." Ah! And here's what's going to happen. Great Babylon come in remembrance before God. The wine of the wrath, fierceness of His wrath. Here's what happened during this earthquake. Verse 20. Every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. Now there's an earthquake. That's the big one. I'd say that one over there the other day was, they say 6.9, somebody else said 7.0, somebody said 7.1, whatever it was. I'd say this one we're talking about would be at least 500 on the Richter scale. I mean an earth of power that the mountains ain't there when it's over with. You say, "Where's the mountains go, preacher?" Well, you know when them houses fell out there? They said they literally, like the earth just, you know, started doing this. Part of it was going one way and part of it was doing the other, and it was shaking. And they said that it kind of opened up and them houses went down in it. You could just walk right up and look in the second or third story window. Somehow they just sunk. And what's going to happen? The earth's just going to get soft and get holes in it, and mountains going to go right down in it. And when this earthquake's over with, Hawaii ain't even there no more. And when this quake's over with, the Blue Ridge Mountains are gone. It's just a round ball. You say, "Can God do that?" Hebrews chapter 12. Turn, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Back to your left there just a second. Hebrews chapter 12 will show you what God can do. I'm not glad it happened. My heart broke. I was sick all week over that thing. Man, I just wanted to cry. Every time I'd see that thing, and I thought about somebody you know or somebody you love, and the pain. When I heard those stories of how they had to cut through that woman's body in order to save that little boy, and I heard that stuff, boy, my heart broke. Because I'm sure yours did. But what we're dealing with here is that we're dealing with a holy God that makes no mistakes. And the best thing to do is make sure you're right with God, because you never know. They say there's a big fault comes right up through here, brother. Goes right through Iceville and up north somewhere, up toward Minnesota or somewhere. Who knows? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth." God's voice shook the earth. "Yet now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only,
but also heaven.
Son, he's going to shake the world and heaven both. That's the big one. When somebody asks you, do you believe that was a big one? Now you'll be able to turn your Bibles and show them the big one. God is very long-suffering, but His patience finally wears out. Let me give you a quote, and I'll bring you three points on this message real briefly. Missing God's life train. And I picture all of us like we're at a big old depot, and we're all standing there, and every little while, there's a big train pulls in and says, anybody want to go to heaven? And people said, no, I'm not ready. Go on. The train pulls out. Directly another one pulls up. Anybody want to go to heaven? People say, no, I'm not ready. The train pulls out. You finally miss God's last train. You finally put it off too long. You finally say no one time too many. You finally just say, no, God, I don't want to hear it anymore. The day's coming when the last train is going to pull out and there ain't no going to heaven then. I tell you what, I read a quote the other day that made me shiver. The quote was from Ted Turner. Ted Turner is over Turner Broadcasting Network, TBN. You know what Ted Turner said? He told a group of advertisers and news people and news media, he said, we control people's attitude. And he's right. The average population today is controlled by the news media. People think what the news media get them to think. They look at things the way the news media presents them. There's very few unbiased, unprejudiced people anymore because of the biased view the news media looks at. The other day, all they were saying on television where these people had trauma and some people need to see psychologists and some people need to see psychiatrists, and I'm not saying they didn't. In many cases, they probably did, but not one word was mentioned about the Lord and turning to God. You know what that is? That's narrow-minded bigotry. Now, Ted Turner said this, quote, he said, Christianity was a religion for losers. There were people protesting abortion, and he said they looked like bozos and idiots. And the president of Turner Broadcasting System said this, and I quote, he's talking about Jesus dying for your sins. He said this, I don't want anybody to die for me. I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, so be it. Well, so be it, friend. You said it. Out of his own mouth, he condemned himself. Here's a man that says, we control how the people think, and said, I've had some drinks and some girlfriends. That's going to put me in hell. You know what so be it means? It means amen. The word amen means so be it. He just said amen to his own soul going to hell. You know what he told the group of advertisers? He said, when the year 2000 gets here, we ought to bring peace on earth, like the New Age movement and the secular humanism and all that. They said, we're going to bring in a new one world government by the time 2000 gets here. And he said, we ought to change it, not call it A.D. anymore, like Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. B.C. means before Christ, and A.D. means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, not after death. And he said, we ought to change that to BP and AP, and ground zero be the year 2000, before peace and after peace. And they all got a big joke. In the days of Noah, God sent the train by and people wouldn't get on board. The Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You listening to me today, young people? Now, I don't know how many times Noah preached, but I know he preached because the Bible said he was a preacher. I don't know if you can be a preacher and not preach. But he was a preacher of righteousness. So in my mind, I imagine he had 120 years. And let's just say I'm Noah and all you are the townspeople. And every day they'd work on that thing and saw and hammer, and the guys would get off at 5 o'clock and they'd come by. And some of them would say, I wonder what the old crazy preacher's up to now.
And they come by and say, "Woo! What are you going to do with that big old boat? Here there ain't no water in 100 miles here, man. And you're building that great big boat." And old Noah would see them gathering out there, and he'd lay down his saw, and he'd pick up his little scroll like this. And boy, he had wrote down some notes that the Lord had given. And I imagine he jumped up on part of that boat he is a building. And he says, "All right, boys." He said, "It's going to rain." And he said, "Right there's the only door in this thing. And if you don't get in that door, you're going to drown, every one of you." And they laughed and they laughed and they laughed. And they made fun of him. And I bet you had that thing about half built. And they'd gather up some of them, time 100 and 150 of them. And everybody's a drinking beer, you know, and partying. And they said, "Boy, let's go out and see the old crazy preacher. I ain't never seen nobody as crazy as him. Why, you mean to tell me we're all going to drown just because we don't believe like you do?" And Noah said, "You got it, friend. You're going to drown because you ain't in the boat." And they said, "You mean you think you're right and everybody else is wrong?" And Noah said, "That's it. I'm right. Everybody else is wrong." Ugh. Don't you know they hated him? Don't you know they said, "Ooh, we can't stand him. He is so self-righteous. He thinks he's right, and anybody that don't get in his boat's going to drown." Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that was the way it was. Anybody didn't get in that boat didn't drown. He was right, and everybody else was wrong. People can't stand that. They went down and said, "Well, I talked to my preacher, and he said you didn't have to be in his boat, and that's all the way you interpret it, Noah, and we believe that we're going to be saved, and just because we drink and you don't, you just think you're better than him, you're just bad off we are, you're self-right, blah, 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 blah." He said, "Boys, I don't know about all that, but I tell you one thing, if you ain't in this boat here in a few days, you're going to be bubbling. You better be a good swimmer, man, because the water's going to cover the mountains, and it ain't going to go down for a year." And they said, "Oh, come of it." He said, "Buddy, you better be learning how to dog paddle for a long time because you're going to drown if you ain't on the boat." Well, they laughed and they made fun and they laughed and they made fun and they laughed and they made fun. Had many opportunities. Time after time, they'd see Noah down at the grocery store somewhere loading up some stuff. And they'd say, "What's that, preacher?" And he'd say, "Friend, how are you doing? Can I talk to you about you?" "Oh, no, 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 no. You ain't got time, preacher. I'll see you later." They had their opportunities. Anybody wanted to could have gotten that boat. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where God said only Noah and his family could. Anybody could have got in that boat. But you know what? They wanted to do like the crowd. They didn't want to stick out. They didn't want people making fun of them. God has always had a door. God has always had a way out. God has always made a way to escape. If you don't take it, you miss your last chance finally. Boy, that day finally coming. You know what God done? The Lord sent a last train. Now, this is the way I think. I think that the last day before that flood, or a few days before, you know, the thing really hit, there's some old boys sitting around over on the hillside, and one of them says, "You reckon they really are into this flood business?" And other said, "I don't know. I believe he's a good man and everything, but a flood, I mean, you know, personally, I think he's gone a little bit overboard. He's read the Bible so much he's went crazy. I believe the old man's senile. And he's getting these old boys in there and their wives, and look at the hardships. And people laugh at them downtown, and they all have to go through that because of his fanatical beliefs." And the other one said, "Well, I don't know, man. I've heard him preach some sermons that make a hair stand up on the back of your head. He's got something." And the other one said, "Well, I tell you, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just ain't going to worry about it." About that time, one of them says, "What in the world is that?" And the other one looked over there, and around the hillside come two elephants. A husband and wife elephant. And they was over here, and buddy, you could tell which one was the husband. He was leading her along by her ear or something. He ran around and said, "Come on, darling." And right, the weirdest thing was, right behind them was two lions. And right behind them was two tigers. And then here come two owls and two rattlesnakes. And right behind them was two rabbits. And right behind them was two chickens. and right behind them was lizards, and right behind them were dogs, and right behind them were rats, and right behind them were kangaroos. And one of them put some and said, "Good night, what's that?" They said, "My grandma told me about them things. Them, they ain't one of them within 2,000 miles of here. They live in Australia." And I said, "Well, what are they doing here?" I said, "That beats a fire out of me. I never seen nothing to beat this. You know, and they're going in. Where are they going? Is Ringling Brothers here? Is Barnum and Bailey? This has got to be a trick." And Noah's standing up there like this saying, "Whosoever will, let him come." Them animals started filing. You know what that was? God's last warning. God's last warning. One big more warning. God is a warning you. God didn't have to do that. God could have let all them animals drown and then put Noah and his family in there and recreated animals after the flood. God did that for a reason. God let them animals come in there as a witness to that old world that he's getting ready to honor the word of his preacher. His preacher that found grace in the Lord's eyes. And buddy, them animals went in there, two by two, seven by seven. And here they come walking in there, seven of the clean animals, one pair of the unclean animals. And they begin, those people with their mouths open, saying, "Good night, them preachers will do anything to get a crowd. What kind of gimmicks you up to now?" This and that, they criticizing. But the truth was, ladies and gentlemen, God sent his last warning. Same thing happened in the days of Lot. No doubt they had had preaching. In Genesis 19, you know what the Bible says Sodom's sin was? Normally we think homosexuality, and of course that was the final blow. But you know what the book says their sin was? Pride, abundance of bread, and idleness. They had too much time on their hand, and too much money, and too much possession. And it destroyed them. They had 3-day weekends and then 4-day weekends and then every other day off, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Plenty of money, plenty of time, and God said he had to destroy them. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and one day God sent the last train. You know what the last train was? Lot was so backslid he couldn't preach by this time. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day just living in that crowd. Took all he could do to keep himself right. And God sent one last warning. Two angels. There was three of them over at Abraham's house, but one of them wouldn't even step foot in that place, and that was the Lord. So he just kind of zipped on back to heaven. Them two came to Sodom at even. And these two angels come in. And boy, they was in there, and them old men was so wicked, they wanted to bring them angels out and have homosexual relations with them angels. And don't think for a second they wouldn't do the same thing in here, in San Francisco, in Atlanta, in Raleigh, in Charlotte. They'd do the same thing now if they had half a chance. Now you read the magazines in the newspaper, in the newsstands for further details. Space aliens, babies, and stuff like that. They said, "Send them angels out here." And Lot said, "Good night, I didn't know you was that wicked. You couldn't do..." It was so bad that he even offered him his own daughters. It was so wicked. And boy, they said, "No." And them angels said, "All right, last train, bow!" And smoked them guys with blindness. And they was all here walking around like that. Don't you know that was God telling them something's about to happen? Don't you know that was God telling... Let me tell you something, friend. God always gives you one last chance. God always gives you one last chance. There's somebody here this morning. This could be your last chance. Well, I was preparing this week, and the Lord's put it on my heart every day this week. He said, "Danny, somebody there may be their last chance. They may miss the last train they ever have for heaven." In this present day, we have three things that give you your last chance. We have revival meetings. You know, it will amaze you when you start asking how many people got saved in a revival. A lot of churches were totally built off revival meetings. Don't ever criticize revival meetings. But if people say, "Oh, it's just a big emotional thrill and waste of money and people get over it." How many in here, I'm number one, how many of you in here got saved in a camp meeting or revival meeting? Raise your hand.
I want you to look around, and I doubt if there's any other place where more of a people got saved than the revival meeting camp. When God sends a breath through, when the Holy Spirit's moving in a church, listen, there's churches, there's whole cities where there ain't been a move of God in 30 years or 40 years, dry as a hide, cold as a block of ice. If God's moving in a community and people are being saved, there's revival spirit, you better get in. That may be God's last time through that community. Before I got saved, my life was just going this way and that way. Deep down inside me, I had a big old empty spot. And I remember I had a Honda and had big high handlebars on it like this. And I rode that thing all over town. That wasn't a bit of fun. But I tried to. The only reason I did it is because everybody looking at me thought it was fun and envied me. Isn't that dumb? So I rode that thing over to Moose Lodge, down there over at the lake, swimming every day. We'd just goof off and cut up. I'd go home at night and lay down. There'd be something empty. And I'd just go off and stay. I was getting so bored. I was getting so sick. And right now, there's no telling where I'd be right now. God happened to send an old preacher to Nebo by the name of Joe Parsons. And when Joe come to town, God come to town. And there's a woman down there in Nebo prayed and fasted for 6 days and nights for all the young people that's out running up and down the road. Buddy, I mean something got a hold of me. Great day in the morning. I tell you, man, I have never been the same since. You know why? God sent the train by. Down there at Nebo Baptist Church. He's still sending it by here. Those revival days. There's soul winners come by your house. One man I talked to in the hospital had 9 preachers. He's on his deathbed. 9 preachers. This man was dying. He had a disease. He was at the point of death. And I said, sir, don't you want to get saved? And you know what he told me? He's about, I guess he's in his 60s. Had less than a few days to live. He said, I'm not ready. I can't believe it. I mean, what do you mean not ready? He can't get out and do nothing wrong. He couldn't get out and party if he wanted to. Why would a guy lay there on his deathbed and say, I ain't ready? He had 9 preachers to visit him. And he died. He missed God's last train. 2 of our young men visit a home not far from here on Thursday night on visitation. They knocked on the door. They went in. They witnessed to this person. And just a few days later, that person was murdered. And 2 of the boys here at the church were called and questioned for witnesses. I mean, it was just about an hour later, wasn't it? It's like an hour later after they'd been there. See, they come to their house, knocked on the door, told them about the Lord. Folks said, not today. An hour later, they're dead. God's last train. God's last train! You say, well, I'm not ready this morning. You better get ready. You say, well, I don't feel the tug. You come, and God will save your soul. You wouldn't even be here if God wasn't dealing with you. You wouldn't even be here if the Holy Ghost hadn't put something down in your heart. God, you think I'm dumb enough to think all y'all come to hear me preach? I know you ain't here to hear me. There's something else draws you to this place. There's a higher power. You're here today. I wish I could grab you. I wish I could shake you and say, listen, friend, this may be your last chance. I heard about a man who is on this ship, and he had this big diamond. And he thought he was real cool, you know, and he'd stand on the side of the ship and he'd just throw it up like that. And catch it. And he'd throw it up like that. And catch it. And somebody said, you better be careful of that thing. That's a lot of money you're putting. Oh, he said, I've been doing this all day. And about that time he threw it up like that, and a big puff of wind come by and caught that thing that went out in the ocean.
And boy, he jumped up and down, and oh, he was squalling. And oh, he's saying, oh no, my fortune's lost. That, you say, well, anybody do something that stupid ought to have their diamond lost. Well, I tell you what you're doing this morning. You've got your soul inside your body you just playing with. Every day you wait, not living for God, you're just playing around with your eternal soul. One of these days you're going to lose that thing. You're going to lose that thing. I'm not going to be here preaching to you forever. Them doors ain't going to be open forever. God sends His last train. One man inherited millions of dollars in the Philippines and they'd only keep it for 30 days. And he moved and left no forwarding address and didn't claim his money. And he missed it. You can miss it, you know. You can miss it. You know why some of you are not concerned this morning? Because you think, good old God, He'll let me in when I get good and ready. I'm hurting for the people that were killed this week, and it bothers me, but how different you think it might have been if everybody going down that road that day would have knew what was going to happen? It would have been different. They act tough when they're alive, but buddy, you know, when tons of steel and concrete coming down on you, you'll find out how tough you are then. You can miss God's last train. I want you to bow your head. Close your eyes.
Every head bowed. Every eye closed. There ain't no doubt in my mind the Lord gave me this message for somebody here today. Somebody here is running from God. And you are going to miss the last train if you don't do something. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. If God is dealing with your heart, you ought to just get out of your seat. Come down here to this altar. Say, God,
God, do something here this morning. Lord, there's people here this morning, their hearts are breaking for their loved ones. Please let them realize. Please let the scales fall from their eyes. May the Holy Ghost bring conviction. God, give them the grace to step out and respond to your call today. Please do it. Help that man, that woman, that young man, that teenager, that boy, girl, who needs to be on this altar to say no to the devil. Lord, I've seen them wiping the tears this morning. Their conviction is setting in. Lord, you're doing your part. Please let them realize this may be their last chance and do something about it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, you need to come to this altar. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Come on. Come on right now while we sing. Come on. Come on right now while we sing. Just get out of your seat. Amen. Let's let the Lord do something for us this morning. Come on, friend. Come on. Don't miss God's last train for heaven. Come on. Come on right now. Come on, friend. Don't you say no to Jesus. Don't you say no to Jesus. One of these days it'll be too late. One of these days it'll be over. One of these days your opportunity will be gone.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat. One of these days the door will be shut. Somebody else. Somebody else needs to come. Just get out of your seat. Come on this morning. Come on. If you don't know, you're ready to meet the Lord.
just like you are. Just get out of your seat and come on this morning.
Amen, amen.
Yes, amen. Let God help you this morning. Let the Lord help you today, friend. Don't say no to Jesus. You're going to miss the last train one day. Come on. Amen. 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 Somebody else. Amen. Somebody else. Don't do it, friend. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Somebody come pray with these folks. One of you ladies, maybe. Amen. You're going to miss God's last train one of these days. Come on to the Lord. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come right now? Will you come right now?
There you go. Hallelujah.
Amen. This morning, but I still believe God is dealing with somebody. I really do. I believe. I saw at least three people just wiping tears a few minutes ago before I even got through. One of these days, the last train is going to come by. One of these days, your last train is going to go sailing up a track. It's going to be over with. It's going to be done. The day's work will be finished. Thank God I made it in one day. I'm thankful I made it in one day. Don't have to make that step no more. Don't have to worry about it. Please, friend, please. God's dealing with your heart today. Amen. Hallelujah. Some prayers being answered right now. Well, glory to God. Amen. Come on, boys. Amen. Y'all pray for him over here, Sam. Thank God. Thank God. That's what we've been praying for years. Thank the Lord. That's Shirley's oldest boy there. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Last train pulling out one of these days. Somebody else, let God speak to your heart this morning. Let's sing, brother, if we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Sing it.
Just
folks are
this morning. Let God work in your heart. I'd like to see an old revival move come through here this morning. You come. Don't say no to God. Don't say no to God. Let God have His way in your heart this morning. Let God have His way in your heart. Just get out of your seat and come on this morning. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Don't say no. Don't say no. This may be God's last train for heaven. Would you come? Would you come? These are praying this morning. I'm going to give them all the time they need just to get that thing settled with God. Hey, the train's passing by. Might be the last one. You know, if everybody in here would do what you know God wants you to do right now, we'd have revival shake McDowell County. Yes, sir. We'd have revival shake McDowell County for the glory of God. I want to ask you that. If you knew this is your last chance, if you knew you would never have another one, would you be satisfied when you're walking out them doors? I know what your problem is. You got some little sin you're holding on to. Say, well, I don't want to quit this, and if I got right with God, I'd have to quit. Buddy, you better forget about that thing. You're going to quit one of these days. Like it or not, you're going to quit. Let's sing another verse, Brother John. We're going to sing another one. If you need to come, just get out of your seat. You do what you know God wants you to do right now. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. God help you this morning, will you? Let God help you this morning. Don't say no to Jesus. Don't say no to Jesus. Just come on this morning. Just come on this morning. Just come on this morning. Settle it with God. Settle it with God. Settle it with God. Will you come? Amen. They've been praying for that ever since they got saved. 3 years. Saved this week, but it was nothing compared to this. Something, I don't
don't know if you can really get the real thing above the Mason-Dixon line. Something's different, I tell you. Something's different. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord can take all them old sins. He can take every one of them old burdens and problems you've been carrying around. Boy, I tell you, He can just relieve them and give you a brand new. I don't know what kind of shine that was.